All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Dropkick Murphys.
Was that your impression? That's a fantastic impression.
Of the Dropkick Murphys?
Not really.
I was debating.
Okay.
This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 140.
That is correct.
I wasn't debating that.
Okay, good.
That actually is a fact.
That is correct.
I was debating tonight between doing two different things. Because,
okay.
Because this week, just a couple of days past now, was St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
And of course, I'm Irish and you're not.
But
I wanted to celebrate the, as you can see, we have a green background this evening.
Yeah.
Like every other week. And I wanted to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
All right.
And then I saw South Park last night.
Okay.
And there's no way we can't talk about it.
The coon, you mean?
Yeah. There's no way we can't
Mysterion.
Talk about it. Mysterion? Yes. And the return of one of my favorite South Park characters of all time.
Professor Chaos.
Professor Chaos.
General
Disarray.
Excellent.
So, I was debating last night whether I should use my Irish accent for the whole fucking show.
You could do the show by yourself.
Or I could do that with that accent, you know, that way. And I'm sure Matt is probably going crazy right now because they'll think my accent's terrible. That's British, by the way.
I know.
I went into British.
You transitioned.
The Irish one is way more up here, and you do a lot more dis and dot and, you know, that kind of thing.
That's great.
Or.
I'm glad there's options.
I could do what is now being accepted as the superhero voice.
the rough and tough, grumbly
yeah.
Christian
voice. Which is more like, so Matt, what's in the news?
Slightly more tolerable. Than the Irish voice.
I don't know.
But I think you should just do it in your typically regular, normal, annoying voice.
Well, I'm going to say that at the very least, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode
right.
140, St. Patrick versus the coon. That's what we're calling it.
It just sounds so much worse than it is.
But the coon is now a hero's name.
Is he really a hero? He was going to blow up a hospital.
There was another cartoon or comic book character named the coon. White Hating Coon. That yeah. was from Kevin Smith's movie, Chasing Amy.
That's right.
Character was called White Hating Coon.
Right.
Just saying. But the South Park episode, if you haven't checked it out yet, go over to Comedy Central, get to the page where they have South Park, get to the full episode section, and watch it. You will absolutely crap yourself. What a beautiful parody of the whole superhero thing that's going on, particularly Batman thing that's going on right now.
Right.
And yes, and happy St. Patrick's Day to our listeners in Ireland. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Who, by the way, don't really give so much a shit about St. Patrick's Day to begin with.
Although I heard there was like brawling and fighting and chaos over there
uh-huh.
on St. Patty's Day.
Oh, really?
It's different than any other.
Oh, I was going to say, what was...
Is that where you were going?
Was there a difference?
No, it was in the news. It was in the news on, Patty's Day? Tuesday? Wednesday, I guess it was in the news.
And then, of course, the joke will follow. Is there a corned beef shortage or something? And of course, I don't even think they eat it over there. So that's clearly an American part of the
holiday.
No
time for corned beef when you're drinking.
Do you know the whole corned beef thing?
I don't really care.
Corned beef, terrible cut of the beef.
Still don't care.
Found in Jewish delis.
Okay.
Jewish butcher shops.
Right.
Right. And nobody wanted it. So they were practically giving the crap away. And who do you think ate it?
The Irish.
The poor Irish who
All
were
right,
just
well,
here.
Good for the poor Irish.
I'm just saying. Don't be hating.
I'm not hating.
You're wearing a green sweater.
I am. And I have a Guinness. I'm all set.
And a little hat makes you
I'm all
feel
set.
Irish.
I don't really.
Don't be hating. I'm trying to educate, sir.
I'm not hating.
All right. Is there some news, or are we just going to debate back and forth Irish theory?
In theory, there is news.
Okay.
In theory, you will be hating at some point during the news, as is your way.
Okay. I am prepared to hate. Wait. Right.
You're going to save the major hating for later on in the show, but there'll be some hatred dispersed throughout, I'm sure.
I want to actually, before we actually get into the news, we have something else to deal with tonight.
We do?
Yeah.
What?
I have an issue with Fantastic.
Why? What did he do?
Fantastic making time with my girl last week.
Now, which one is your girl exactly?
You know who my girl is.
Miss Felicia Day?
Felicia Day.
Well, he's that good. He is a pretty man. We've said it before.
Fantastic. Would you like to explain yourself?
What is it? What do you want?
What were you doing with my girl?
I had seen her playing with a yo-yo at South by Southwest. Tim and I, co-founder of Ambush.tv, saw her.
That's other Tim.
That's other Tim, not production Tim.
Not production Tim. Saw her playing with a yo-yo. Knowing that Tim is one of the original founders of YoYoNation.com, one of the largest yo-yo retailers on the internet, I instantly ran over to him and said, Felicia Day is playing with a yo-yo. He said, show me the way.
There it is.
At which point we went over and wowed her with my charm.
Uh-huh. I see.
And Tim's yo-yo knowledge.
Did you tell her about me?
I did actually mention you, and she remembered you fondly. No, it wasn't fondly. She remembered you.
All right, I'll take remember me. That's
all right,
good.
Remembers
better
is good.
Than nothing. What did you see anything? Did you see anything else cool out there at South by Southwest?
There's a lot of cool things. There's if you're looking for Brooklyn hipsters and West Coast hipsters or hipsters of any kind, go to South by Southwest.
A lot of hipsters, huh?
Lots of hipsters and lots of people tweeting. There's lots of tweeting going on.
Oh,
there.
Jesus Christ!
Tweeting is so passé.
Unbelievable. Man, it's like Pogs. When's it going away?
Hey.
When are you going to start tweeting, Big Kev?
I like
Never.
Twitter.
When I have fucking wings and a beak. That's
hey, we
what
have
I'll
a show to do.
Oh, yes, of course.
Can we do the show?
Sorry.
Please get to the show. Goodbye.
I just wanted to deal with that whole Felicia Day issue.
Okay.
You may now proceed.
Mickey Rourke.
But before you... No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Mickey Rourke, back in our news.
Terrific.
I only wanted to have him in here once, and then it was going to be twice, and then I kind of just mushed it all together.
Mickey Rourke.
He has signed up for Iron Man 2. It's confirmed this time. It's actual this time.
And who's he playing?
The Russian supervillain. I still don't think that they've named which villain it is. There's still the debate that he's either Crimson Dynamo or Whiplash, although the last thing I read...
Whiplash is not Russian.
It was leading towards Whiplash. Maybe they're making him Russian.
Oh, okay.
It's not like Marvel has never changed important things about characters before. So, okay. Mickey Rourke. And we should just say, while we're talking about Mickey Rourke, I believe it has been confirmed that he will be at WrestleMania. Not wrestling, in the audience, apparently. But
he didn't win the Oscar.
There. That's right.
So now he can wrestle.
He could do all of these things now that he didn't win the Oscar.
I think he takes a bump.
Okay.
At WrestleMania. That's I'm going to stick to that. I'll be taking bets on Mickey Rourke taking a bump.
All
Triple
right.
B, I'm looking at you. Getting the foamy top off of your Guinness.
Yeah, so I could actually drink it and enjoy it.
Unbelievable. You know, if you had a fine product like Snapple, you wouldn't have to blow the head off.
All right. Scarlett Johansson. Also in Iron Man 2.
God damn
it is confirmed
fucking Marvel.
That she has replaced Emily Blunt.
Terrible.
In the role of Black Widow.
Terrible, terrible, terrible choice. She's completely the wrong body type for this character.
She's wonderful to look at.
I'm not saying she's not wonderful to look at. I'm saying completely wrong body type.
Well,
this character.
You can't blame Marvel for this one. It's Fox exercised that option that they had to put her in Gulliver's Travels.
It's Marvel Films, though. It's Marvel Films who cast her.
Okay, well, yeah, but I think Marvel wanted Emily Blunt. They kind of got, you know.
Who's like a poor man's Emily Blunt? It isn't Scarlett Johansson. I'm trying to think. I'm really okay with Scarlett Johansson. I know you are, but that's you don't you. All you care is that it's Scarlett Johansson. You don't care that she's wrong for the role.
Well,
you don't care how terrible she was in fucking Spirit movie.
Nah, all right, there is that.
Yeah,
I always
you don't
go back
care.
To, I always
no,
go back
just to Scarlett Johansson. She's
I always
pretty
go back,
to look at.
I always go back to Ghost World. She was okay in Ghost World.
Irrelevant. Not a comic book movie by the classic definition.
It is a comic book.
Yes, I understand, sir, but it's certainly not a superhero comic book.
No, it's certainly not a superhero comic.
You know, what was the Tom Hanks movie?
Tom Hanks movie?
The one in the 20s with him and the kid driving around killing people.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't
even
know. That was a comic book, too.
I don't know.
I don't remember the name of it. All Perdition. Right. Road to Perdition.
Oh, yes. Road to Perdition. Okay. Let's move on to Thor.
Oh, let's.
And who has, apparently, there are two rumors this week.
Okay.
Thor and Loki.
About casting.
Yes.
Okay.
So Thor is Alexander Skarsgård.
Now, these are still rumors.
These are still rumors.
Uh-huh.
Do you know who Alexander Skarsgård is?
He is the son of Peter Skarsgård.
Okay.
Right? Is that right or wrong?
Sure.
You don't even know.
I don't know.
Yeah, his dad is somebody.
Okay. He's been in a bunch of stuff, too. I just don't know
his
what.
His dad?
No, Alexander. I just don't know.
I don't know what he's been in. Where's your IMDb,
sir? I have IMDb, but I'm having interweb issues.
Oh, well, this doesn't help us, you know, get through the show.
Well, we could talk about Loki.
We know
some things that Loki's been in.
All right, let's try Loki.
Josh Hartnett.
Okay, not a bad...
Sky Captain.
Yeah, not a terrible choice.
Right, he had a... Wasn't he in... Oh, no, no, I'm
not
thinking...
He was not in Sky Captain, sir. He was in O.
He was in O. He was in Sin City. In the opening sequence of Sin City.
And the closing.
And the closing.
Yes.
And
I'm glad that you picked out the movie he was 6 minutes in. How about Pearl Harbor?
Yes, he was in Pearl Harbor.
How about 40 Days, 40 Nights?
I didn't see 40 Days and 40 Nights.
It was very good.
Okay.
And he was in it.
All right.
Josh Hartnett, he's been in like 1,000 things.
100,000 things, I'm sure.
Got anything on the Skarsgård kid yet?
True Blood. He plays Eric Northman in True Blood.
Ah.
He's in, let's see, other movies he's been in. Nothing great. So there it is.
Did you find out who his dad is?
I did not find out who his dad is.
Why don't you click that bio section?
I see the bio section.
Son of
no
Skarsgård.
No, I don't really care.
I think it's important. His dad's done some genre stuff.
It doesn't say. I'm telling you, it doesn't say.
That's a lie.
I'm looking at it on IMDb. I don't see.
I find your lack of preparedness disturbing.
Listen, I was prepared. I had the IMDb up and ready, and I had interweb issues.
Sure. It's always the web's fault, not the fact that you're still on a crappy Dell.
All right,
it's the web.
Fine.
No, that's fine. No, go ahead.
Fine.
It's okay. The listeners don't need to be informed. It's fine.
You're right. There's going to be a reboot of the Fantastic Four franchise.
Now, that's a heavy rumor at this point. Is there any truth to that?
Is there any truth to any of these things until you see the actual announcement from the studios?
I hope that one is not true.
Big fan of the second one?
You know what? I'm a fan of both of those movies in the sense that I don't think they could be remade any better.
Okay.
I think we got the best Fantastic Four we're going to get out of those two flicks. And if they're not going to make any more, fine. But to reboot it at this point, who else would you cast but that guy as the Torch?
He was Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. He's probably the best one.
Yeah. Who else are you going to? I am now settled. I mean, I easily thought the Roger Corman version could be remade, and they did. And they did such an infinitely better job that I cannot imagine they would be stupid enough to do this. And you're telling me that is there any comments at all from Marvel Films or
no? Other than there's rumors that it's going to be rebooted, that they're not going to bring back the director and writer from the original franchise, which obviously makes complete sense if they're going to reboot it, and that's it. And I'm sure that we'll follow it closely. Marvel did have a pretty big announcement, though, this week in regards to their other movies going forward, and they didn't mention Fantastic Four in that timeline.
Good.
They did mention Spidey, the next Spidey film, which is still scheduled to be released in May of 2011. Sam Raimi has been talking about that. Not a whole lot said yet. I think that he recently said that he doesn't know that Kirsten Dunst has been confirmed to come back, although he hopes that she does, mm-hmm. that he wants to work with her again.
Uh-huh.
Toby is signed up for it. We know that much. We don't know who the villain is, but it's on schedule for May of 2011.
The villain is Sam Raimi.
Oh, is that
because
is that
after the third film, they shouldn't allow him anywhere near that franchise. That's just me.
I still don't blame him entirely for that.
Oh, good gravy.
He gets partial
blame. The buck
blame.
Stops at
I know,
Raimi,
I
sir.
I understand. But I think Marvel has a little bit to do with that one, too.
Yeah.
They forced Venom upon him and us, and it was a shame.
Yeah.
Because it could have been done much better.
Well, then he should have put his foot down and been like, fuck you, I ain't doing this lousy flick.
All right. Iron Man 2 is still on track for the same release date.
Okay.
We still got May 7th, 2010.
Okay.
For Iron Man 2. Thor is moving back a year. So from July 16th, 2010.
I bet it is.
To June 17th, 2011
uh-huh.
is Thor. And then Cap is also moving a year and change from May 6th, 2011 to July 22nd. Oh, I'm sorry. It's only a couple months. May 6th, 2011 to July 22nd, 2011. Mm-hmm. But the Avengers is moving a year from July 15th, 2011 to May 4th, 2012.
Stupid. Just dumb. I know what it is. It's that they do not have enough resources to allocate all of these flicks happening sooner.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. And yeah, exactly. They can't do film all of them at the same time. They have to break it down and make sure that there's money because there's none in the economy. So they've got to hope. They're going to try to bankroll each of these films based on the success of the film prior to it, which means that
so
more than likely
after Thor?
We'll never get past Thor.
Yeah.
We'll never get
What's
Cap.
What's the flick that comes past Thor?
No, actually, after Thor is Cap.
So
we may never get Cap.
Cap's got to be a way bigger price tag, I'm thinking.
Well, I don't know.
World War II, sir?
You're going to create Asgard, and it's going to be mythical.
Are
and
they?
Fantastical.
Oh, God.
And, woo,
just a terrible way to go.
Fun and exciting. No.
Okay. Nothing. No, nothing.
All right. So we can move away from Marvel, and we can go into something else we've been talking about on this show fairly regularly, and that is the Green Hornet.
Yes. And actually, it's Green Hornet comic news, not film news.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Moonstone, comic company that we enjoy, they're currently doing all that Phantom stuff that I'm really liking and recommending that people read. Mm-hmm. They just did the reboot of the Phantom.
Okay.
They've landed the rights to produce original short story collections featuring the Green Hornet. And everybody, all these great writers have signed on to do it. The only thing I don't know is it a comic book or is it a collection of short stories? I'm assuming it's a comic.
Maybe it's a
short comic stories.
Yeah, maybe it's like the original release of Stardust with text, and then
that was not the original.
A handful. I thought the original release was the original 4-issue miniseries.
Yes.
When it released, wasn't it just text and pictures?
I don't think so.
Comic book.
I think it was.
I don't think that it was.
I think the second release was the all texty version.
I can be wrong.
I'm just saying. The likes of Harlan Ellison, who's just a bitter prick.
Right.
And Max Allen Collins, who I think is the guy who wrote Road to Perdition.
Okay.
Coincidentally.
If you say so.
And a couple of other guys, Ron Mars included, will be contributing to this. And Van Williams, who played the Green Hornet in the TV show, will write the introduction to the first volume. And it's coming out in late 2009.
Okay. So that's that?
Yep.
That's Green Hornet.
I thought Van Williams was dead. But apparently,
if
I confused Van Williams with Van Johnson. Because I think Van Johnson died like a month ago, and I was like, oh, the guy who played Green Hornet died, Van Johnson. But that was not Van Johnson.
I don't know.
Van
you
Williams
me.
Played the Green Hornet, and apparently is still alive. Unless, of course, you know, they got an introduction from beyond the grave.
Someone broke out a Ouija board and did some voodoo.
Speaking of stuff coming from dead guys.
Yeah.
Coming from live guys very soon. And I'm saying this now, and we're getting it on tape and everything. And we may even show the design. We may even show the design in the anniversary show.
That's coming
out.
Up soon.
Yeah.
That
2 weeks,
anniversary show. 2 weeks.
Tolkien is my Tupac t-shirts coming to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
All right. You're committing to this.
We have to get Mr. Fabulous on the phone. And what I got, everybody, including Fantastic, is like, you'll never get my brother on the phone. I get him on the phone all the time. It's just a question of now getting him the image and so on and so forth and getting it set up. These will be limited run. I know a lot of people who we've shared this design with have really thought it was something really funny. So we're very excited about being able to produce these. So anyway, there was more news.
There's always more news.
This whole show is news today.
It is. It's just news and anger.
What do you got?
Linda Hamilton, Terminator Salvation. There have been a lot of rumors going back and forth about whether or not she was going to play a role in at least the first of what we now know is a trilogy of new Terminator films. And it was confirmed that she recorded a voiceover for the opening of the film. Which I guess, did she do that for what, T2? She did a voiceover in the opening, right?
And I think it was, yeah.
Yeah, so they're rehashing that idea, but they are using Linda Hamilton and confirming her as Sarah Connor in that mythos. So there it is.
Good.
And there's still been some rumor about Arnold's role in the film. He was seen on set at one point in time.
And I thought the rumor at that point was that they had... they 3D scanned him, and mm-hmm. were maybe using him for some sort of...
I had heard that as well.
Some sort of but, continuity issue.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Just saying.
I still like the TV show.
What's next?
Rorschach.
Yes, here
again,
he is.
Again, more Watchmen.
And, of course, the picture you're seeing right now, of course, if you're watching us live on Mogulus...
Right.
Fantastic. What is the address for these peeps to check out the show live each and every week?
Thanks for giving me a heads up. It's ambush.tv/live. Back to you, Big Kev.
There Thank it you. Is. Fantastic.
Simple.
Right. This is the exclusive variant DC Direct Rorschach figure, and he is unmasked.
Right.
So essentially, it's the Rorschach figure they've already done.
Right.
And simply, he is unmasked. He does not come with an alternate head, which, of course, I think would have been the way to go just out of the gate.
Right. Know, just come with a mask versus head. Unmasked. Right.
And, my allergies are killing me.
Honestly, they missed the boat on this one.
Why?
Because if they wanted to do unmasked Rorschach, they should have done Prison Rorschach.
Rorschach. Absolutely.
That would have been a great compliment to the entire line, mm-hmm. and it would have been an awesome way to have an unmasked version of the character.
And, you know, they easily could have done, or could still do, in my opinion, they easily could have done, or could still do, more figures from the Watchmen movie. And I think they sure. should. But currently, as we've been saying, much to our chagrin...
Right.
They have not done any more characters. There he is.
Yeah.
He has the very good likeness, I would say.
You know, I was going to criticize the color of his hair, but for those watching on the video, the hair looks fantastically red.
That's because it was poorly lit when you looked at it earlier.
Is that what it is? It looks a little too brown to me.
The Jackie Earl Haley likeness is very good. I really think that they should seriously consider doing at least one more series of these. Or down the line.
I'd love to see Minutemen figures. I mean,
yeah.
That's probably asking for too much.
They've done, theoretically, they've done three already.
Right.
So,
but I'd like to see some of the rest of them.
I would, too. I'd love to see a Hooded Justice or Mothman or any of those guys would be great. Prison Rorschach, of course,
mm-hmm.
we've spoken about. I don't even know. I'm sure, again, I'm sure
we could
pick a whole bunch out.
Of, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a shame. I'm a little upset about it. I can't.
Why are you upset?
Telling you? Because I really think they came out really well, and I think it seems to have fallen off the cliff.
Do you think that's probably because the movie isn't doing great box office wise?
I don't know. I don't know what the. I know there was a drop off, but
it was 55 million opening weekend, uh-huh. and then a significantly large drop off for the second.
What was
weekend.
The second weekend?
I don't know the exact figure.
It got beat by Dwayne Johnson.
It did get beat by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
He's just Dwayne Johnson now.
He'll always be The Rock.
He has dropped The Rock, sir.
Well, that's his
own fault. What was that? Was a remake of Witch Mountain, right?
Right.
Escape 2 Witch Mountain, or whatever it was. Yeah. It looks pretty good, too, from the trailer. I haven't gone out to see it yet, but sure. I want to.
All right.
All right.
Moving on?
Sure.
We don't have Rocketeer news often on the show.
No, we don't, but we're
happy
to
get some. But occasionally we do.
I am a huge fan of Dave Stevens, The Rocketeer.
We know this.
The comic, the film, the everything.
Everything, right.
Much has been made of my appearances at certain poker games where I use a full-scale Rocketeer helmet that I wear during these games. I am a fan.
You should do an episode of the show in the helmet one night.
Should I?
Yeah, why not?
I have to check with Fantastic about that. But thankfully, someone is now putting out The Complete Rocketeer. And you'll never guess who it is.
Okay.
IDW.
Good for IDW.
The Complete Company apparently now has the rights to put out and is putting out The Complete Rocketeer. The volume will collect all of Stevens' Rocketeer comics completely recolored by Laura Martin, who Dave Stevens selected to recolor the series before he died. And he didn't like the coloring very much in the original series. So.
Now, how much Rocketeer, how much of that Rocketeer actually exists? Like, how big is this collection going to be? Is this like a thin collection? Is it? Because I'm not really familiar with how much content actually exists. There's, multiple volumes.
There's a significant amount. There's enough. I mean, it's not like 100 issues or anything.
Right, right.
But there's enough issues where it will be a nice volume. Plus, they have a lot of supplemental material. There's something like over 10 pages of stuff that has never or rarely been seen. You know, it's pretty fantastic.
Okay.
I'm very excited. They're going to do a deluxe version of the collection also, which is a little bit oversized.
All right.
Which is very good. Which is a lot of these are being done that way, oversized collections and so on
I'm actually really interested in that collection because I've never read most of that stuff. I think I've seen a couple of things here and there, but I've never read most of it. So I'm pretty excited for when that comes out.
Well, that's great. You'll be pleasantly surprised then.
All right. So separate from the DVDs that came out during the course of the week, we're going to talk about a DVD that's coming.
Yes.
This is coming to us from Warner Brothers in DC, correct?
Yes, and we now have the box art that we're looking at.
And this is Green Lantern.
Green Lantern First Flight.
Right.
So this is the next DC Universe animated original series, and it will feature Christopher Maloney from Law & Order SVU.
Nice.
As the voice of Hal Jordan. And essentially, it's the Hal Jordan origin story.
I should say I also like that it's Hal Jordan.
Yep.
And not some of these other Green Lanterns.
Well, it could have been Guy Gardner, and I would have been fine with that.
You like Guy Gardner.
It'll be out in late July. It'll be offered as a standard one or a deluxe two, which will have a whole bunch of additional things on it. And for the first time,
right,
Blu-ray will have stuff that the regular one doesn't have.
Yeah.
Just stupid.
Green Arrow. I want Green Arrow.
You're not going to get Green Arrow.
Come on. Why not?
Just saying.
They're going through the Justice League, right? They'll probably do Green Arrow before Aquaman, no?
Mm.
They haven't done Aquaman yet.
Not legally. No, yeah, not
right?
a new
not
one.
In this new wave of animated flicks?
No, they haven't.
So who's left if you're going to do one-offs from Justice League, which is kind of what they're doing, right? Supes, Wonder Moon, Batman.
Wonder Moon?
Wonder Woman.
Who's Wonder Moon?
There is no
Is
Wonder
that a new
Moon.
Character,
It's like Wonder Real.
It's like Moon Knight and yes. Wonder Woman had a child?
What if? It's a what if
it's
book.
A crossover
From the
book.
90s. It's one of the
Wonder Moon.
It's one of the Amalgam books.
That's
it's
it, like, yeah. I love the Amalgam books. Dude, Dark Claw.
Dark Claw was the only good one, I think. That
no, there
I
were a couple
liked.
Of those. Dark Claw's enemy. Do you remember who Dark Claw's enemy
oh, God,
was?
No.
The hyena.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
It was the Joker and Sabretooth, or like an animal like character. Hyena.
Some
it worked.
Amalgam thereof.
Yeah. It was all good.
Right. Okay.
I think we should take a break.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
And with that, we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 140, St. Patrick versus the Coon.
I'm going to finish my Guinness.
Combo Breaker!
ComboBreaker.com makes original video game t-shirts that gamers want to wear. Head over to ComboBreaker.com to shop for original gaming t-shirts based on some of the best games ever made. From the classics to the soon-to-be classics, check out Combo Breaker's first round of shirts featuring designs inspired by your old-school favorites like Simon's Quest, Metroid, Punch-Out, and Star Fox. And just in time for the long-anticipated release of Street Fighter IV, pre-order your Raging Demon t-shirt now. But that's not all. ComboBreaker.com also brings you unbiased reviews and a damn good podcast to boot. So head over to the iTunes store, search for Combo Breaker, and subscribe today.
If you're in the tri-state area, pick up your ComboBreaker.com apparel at Digital Press Video Games, 387 Piaget Avenue, Route 46 East, Clifton, New Jersey.
And for a limited time, visit combobreaker.com and enter coupon code GEEKSTUFFXM during checkout for an extra 10% off your next order.
That's combobreaker.com for the best in original gamer designs.
You know it.
Combo Breaker!
Hey guys, this is Brian O'Halloran from Clerks, Clerks 2, Brutal Massacre, whole bunch of films.
Not even supposed to be here today.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Listen, he's a geek, I'm a geek, I know this kind of stuff.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. You sound like an asshole!
Geek Stuff. I'm trying to combine the two, and it's just
not working. Make my ears geek stuff bleed.
Episode 140. Nope. Kinda. Nothing.
It's just
Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 140. St. Patrick versus the Coon.
Right.
And before we go on, we want to mention for you newer listener types, you can check us out each and every week over at our site, BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where
that's correct.
You can do a variety of things. You can download the show, the audio version of the show.
Right.
Occasionally we post the video version of the
I
show.
I think that's going to become more and more regular.
Is that right?
Yes. Hopefully every episode.
My understanding, fantastic. Is it true that near in the future... we will be showcasing the live show at our website as well. Is that true?
Yes, we are threatening that. We are considering threatening that.
Okay, terrific. Correct. And, of course, you can check us out at homegrownradionewjersey.com.
That's right. On Sundays.
Sundays at
5
p.m. Is that right?
Yes.
5 p.m.? Okay. So we're over there as well. Don't forget to check out Studio V segments.
That's right. We
as
just
well.
Did a whole bunch
yeah,
of those.
Yeah, a whole batch of those in the pipe coming.
Coming
so
down the pipe
check
soon.
Those out. And they are very funny. The latest batch was really funny.
Well, yes.
So, yes. So, good.
All right. No, we could say something else.
Okay, go ahead.
We could say if they want to participate in the show and they have a topic that they want to hear us talk about that they think we might not jump on ourselves. They could drop us an email over at the website, or they can leave us a voicemail by giving us a call at 425-920-6050, and that voicemail will be played on the show, and then we could discuss it. We've had some really good topics come in that way in the past, and we'd like to go forward, so give us a shout.
Do you think that is a worthwhile venture?
Absolutely. I think we've had some really good content come out of that, no?
It's that time of the night, we turn on the black light. Let the dungeons and the dragons begin. It's D&D. Fighting with the legends of yore. It's D&D.
Where was the... I didn't see the graphic. I didn't know what to do because there was no graphic.
I thought I'd show your handsome face instead.
See?
Well, anyway, this, of course, is our ongoing effort to make aware all of our listeners that the brand new 4th edition D&D is out, and it is really freaking good.
Muy bueno.
They have just put out another slew of... I can't believe it, man. They're coming out... It seems to me they're coming out like every week. You know,
okay.
It isn't, but I mean, they're putting out so much great stuff that we're just trying to keep up with it here on the show. We try to do one or so product... you know, every time we get some,
sure.
And every time that we're able to turn some of this stuff around, absolutely fantastic. We're going to get to all of it eventually. We hope we're able to keep up with it as much as we can. This week, though, we're talking about the Drakronomicon Chromatic Dragons book.
Yes.
Now, this is a hardcover book, hardcover guide
book.
To. The chromatic or good dragons.
Right.
As opposed to the prismatic,
yes.
Or as you like to call them, the colored dragons. And,
well, yeah.
I'm just saying.
I,
why you have to get all upset about
it. Do you disagree
it.
With that description of them?
I'll say prismatic.
Okay.
You can say colored.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
This book, it is a supplement intended for you to know everything there is to know about all of these dragons.
Right. They have wings, claws, they breathe
yes,
fire.
Yes, that's it.
And they fly.
No, it's different because there's a whole bunch of different dragons that have all sorts of different treasures and so on and so forth. Yet this guide allows you to line all those things up. It helps DMs create their adventures with dragons, dragon lairs, and so on and so forth. They also have a section about all sorts of they call it the Dragon Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of very famous dragons in the world, obviously, that your players may encounter.
Is Smaug in there?
I don't believe Smaug.
I don't think they don't have the rights to Smaug.
I don't think Smaug. Well,
Sean Connery? Is he in there?
The Sean Connery dragon? I am the last. No, you're not. They did a sequel to that stupid movie. Do you know that? They did directed
it. It was like a little kitty dragon or some shit.
I know the kid
Dragon
was
Heart.
The kid was helping it out, whatever it was.
I don't know.
More information about fighting dragons. What do you call it? Draconian myth? Wait, no, that's not right. Is it Draconian? Dragon myth. How about that? How about we stop trying to dress it up all fancy and just call it what it is? It's full of tables, beautiful artwork, lots of graphs and pictures and things to help you out. You want this because this is the dragons in Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
I mean, at least this is the first part of it. So
that makes so much sense now.
Okay. Now let me say, I know, everyone's cracking up laughing. Now let me tell you why I said that. Because a lot of people, in particular, a lot of GMs shy away from playing dragons.
Well, yeah.
Because they're powerful and all that shit. I understand that. But the point is, as a young player, this was my case.
You want to encounter a dragon.
You want to encounter a dragon. I don't want to necessarily have to fight a dragon. Per se.
No, but
maybe I got to go and answer some riddles. Maybe I got to sneak around using my invisible ring and get his juice.
Smog's not in there.
I didn't say Smog.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying just in general, you can use an invisible ring and maybe
and
you
get
can get
dragon
around. Maybe
juice?
He can just sniff you and you got to outwit him and stuff. What?
Nothing. Keep going.
What was that? About juice?
Like, just keep going.
I'm just saying that as a young player, especially if you're just starting out playing Dungeons and Dragons, I know this was a criticism of a lot of groups that I've played with, was that no one encountered a dragon ever because the DM was like, "Dragon, dude, fucking dragons are mad powerful and they'd eat your entire party in like half a second." Sure, if you play them that way.
Right.
Get a guy like the Draconomicon here. Draconomicon. Draconomicon.
It's like Necronomicon.
It is, except
Draco.
But
first.
Draco, yes. You're able to scale back. You're able to plan better. You're able to maybe flesh out these dragon characters a little bit more so that you're able to, do more with them.
If you say so.
I'm going to read you a little flavor text on the back.
Read away.
This Dungeons & Dragons supplement covers the red, blue, green, black, and white dragons described in the Monster Manual, as well as three new chromatic dragons appearing in this book.
Okay.
Details dragons' powers, tactics, lairs, servitors. In addition, the book provides new information about how chromatic dragons fit into the D&D game, which is great. Gives you elements you're able to incorporate. And the one thing, the one thing we should say is the way I see it is they've expanded on the information of the prismatic dragons.
Right. Prismatic.
That's hanging out with you. I start saying words like that.
There's nothing wrong with that word when discussing dragons.
I know. They've expanded on those concepts presented in the Monster Manual more here and then presented the new chromatic dragons, thus the name chromatic dragons. There.
Right.
So that's it. That's this week's Dungeons & Dragons update, the Draconomicon.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
What's next?
Buck Rogers.
Dynamite's doing Buck Rogers.
There it is. Done.
Done.
All right, moving
on. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read it from the paper.
All right, read away, Captain.
I'm not going to do that either. But Buck Rogers is coming back to comics after a long hiatus. Dynamite's bringing it to us. Writer Scott Beatty, artist Carlos Rafael. will relaunch Buck Rogers in May with the release of the bargain-priced Buck Rogers Zero.
All right.
So there it is. Dynamite, of course, has been bringing us a lot of old pulpy characters lately. Lone Ranger, Zorro. They've been doing, they're the ones publishing the superhero project that we keep talking about, right, right. Which is kind of Alex Ross and Jim Kruger's older heroes thing that they're, you know, kind of working on there. And so that I have to appreciate the fact that Dynamite is doing these things. I mean, they're doing so many of them that I'm forced to appreciate them.
Okay.
The 16-page comic coming out in May is coming on Free Comic Book Day, with the first full issue following in June, and that's from Dynamite. They're not really giving us a lot of information about what sort of branding they're doing here, if they're doing old school or new school or
reimagining,
or reimagining
of the character.
But from the art they've released so far, they're definitely concentrating on some of the classic elements.
Good.
The headgear and some backpack and things like that. So I'm happy about that, but we're going to have to see. Beatty, by his own admission, a huge fan of the terrible TV show of the 80s. So,
all right.
I don't know. He says Tweaky will not be in it, though.
Okay.
Which I can appreciate.
All right.
Go ahead.
Muppets.
Terrific.
What?
Nothing.
Apparently there's a script floating around, the Jason Segel Muppet script, the title of which is, I've read, is The Greatest Muppet Movie of All Time.
Now, that's a working title.
I'm assuming so.
Okay.
The premise of the script is the movie revolves around the Muppets reuniting after a huge falling out to save the Muppet Studios in Hollywood. They put together a show in the Muppet Theater, and they need to get 10 million viewers to save the studio from an evil Texas oil tycoon. So that's the plot. Apparently, all the classic characters are in it, including Kermit, Piggy, Ralph, Gonzo, Fonzie, Animal, Electric Mayhem, Sam Eagle, the Swedish Chef, Bunsen, Beaker, Sweetums, etc. The only Pepe. New Muppet to be in it, although minor, is Pepe.
What do you mean, although minor?
He got like three lines in the whole movie. So why? Maybe they're stellar. Maybe they're stellar.
But why?
Because I think that the franchise is trying to get back to its roots. And I think that there's a way to do that with the content without eliminating some of the new characters. Especially a character like Pepe.
Pepe is like the best Muppet out there. Seriously. Like right. The best Muppet out there. Why would you cut him?
I don't, because if they're trying to go back to the roots, then maybe you don't introduce those characters or use those characters. Clearly they're using the character because they recognize how popular he is.
This is the reverse situation of how Marvel would handle this situation.
Right.
Marvel would put not only Pepe, but probably Elmo and some of the other more popular Muppets all together in the movie. That's how Marvel would handle it.
Right.
This is exactly the opposite of that, where they're like, eh, we're just going to stick to the original. You can't stick to the original characters at this point. You just can't do it.
I think you have to at least reference the fact that some of those new characters exist. Look, I'm glad that Pepe's in there at all, because, you know, it's Pepe. But look, it's a long way from going to there's a script floating around to a movie. We've been hearing about a new movie for quite some time. There was rumors of a TV show for quite some time. So I'm not really getting too excited. I mean, it's nice to know that someone is trying to do something, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right. Comics.
Yes.
Now, we haven't had a show in 2 weeks.
Well, we got a big stack of books.
So we got a little bit of a backlog.
Yeah.
So let's start.
Let's get through it.
Mad Magazine Watchmen. Now, is this the second Mad Watchmen?
No, I don't think so. I think this is the first one.
Okay.
As far as I know.
I know they did that one for San Diego, but I'm guessing the content in here is new and original.
I think so. I haven't had a chance to compare the two, so I don't know. But they have done the typical Mad Magazine job of sending up the movie. The artwork is fantastic. The cover, hysterical. I mean, it's
well, it's Alfred E. Newman as Rorschach.
Of course. And, you know, since now the Obama kind of thing is kind of
That's over.
Now the Watchmen parody thing is starting to come up.
So will Watchmen appear on five different issues of Spider-Man now?
I doubt that. I doubt that. But stuff like this will continue to occur for a while, I think.
Okay. Now, what is Watchmench?
Watchmench.
What is that?
Yeah, it's kind of it's clearly a parody of The Watchmen, obviously.
Clearly.
One shot. Brian Scan Studios is the one putting this out. It's black and white. The art is meh. The story is meh also. It's basically The Watchmen, and there's a bunch of there's several Jewish elements, if you will.
Is that a pais that I see
Yes,
there?
That's exactly what you're seeing there. If you get the picture back up there, fantastic. The smiley face that we're used to there, of course, is wearing a yarmulke, and he has, what did you call that?
The pais.
Is that what it's called, pais?
The curly cue, I believe, is a pais.
And that's what's draping across his face there. So I wonder how long that's going to continue.
All right.
The Watchmen parodies. I don't know. But speaking of Watchmen, DC has put out After Watchmen, What's Next? And you can check out what that means over at afterwatchmen.com.
I've been reading a lot about this.
Okay.
This is DC's attempt to take people who are newly introduced to comics and graphic novels because of The Watchmen and give them suggestions to go and pick out after The Watchmen. This is like As Recommended By when you go into Blockbuster.
Right, right.
Or on Amazon.
And, of course, they have picked things like V for Vendetta, most of Alan Moore's books that DC has produced. Actually, most of Alan Moore's books.
Some Gaiman is in there, right?
Yeah.
Some Brian K. Vaughan, I think, is in there.
Ex Machina is in here, which I don't like very much. But Ooh, Why the Last Man is in here, which, of course, is a good book.
Preacher is in there. Transmet is in there.
That was an interesting pick. Planetary. They have a huge selection of choices for you to check out, and they all more or less kind of follow this whole idea of the more serious take on comic books and characters and mature themes and so on and so forth, something that was expressed clearly in The Watchmen for the more mature reader, if you will. So I thought that's very interesting and smart of them to do.
Absolutely.
Yes. Let's move on to Black Coat.
Let's.
Athena Voltaire. This is issue 1 of 1. It's from Ape Entertainment, written by Ben Lichius, and the art by Stephen Bryant. Now, I'm going to say right off the bat, the original Black Coat series was fantastic.
Has that been collected, do you know?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes. Art by Francesco Franciavilla,
right,
if I remember correctly, who was a swell guy.
Okay.
Story and art by Ben Lichius, and colored by
Steve.
Some dude. There's actually two different stories in here.
Okay.
Blood for Water, story and art by Ben Lichius, and Isle of the Dead, story and art by Steve Bryant.
Wow, story and art. Multitaskers. Yeah.
These are guys who are doing it. I thought Blood for Water was a
okay story.
The Athena one, however, Athena Voltaire, not a Black Coat story.
It's an Athena Voltaire story?
Yes. It's deceptive because you're really only getting one Black Coat story. Okay. And it seems like Ape is trying to present this as...
This is Ape Entertainment features Grindhouse.
Kind of. Yes. That's a good way to put it. Or a more accurate way, this is a complete deception.
Okay.
If you're a Black Coat fan... then you want a full issue of Black Coat, not half an issue of Black Coat and half an issue of a character or a story you couldn't give a shit about.
Okay.
That said, the Ben Lichius story, Blood for Water, very good story.
All right.
So I thought that was very good, and I thought it was worth mentioning. Black Coat original series, however, banging.
All right. What's next?
This would be Batman Battle for the Cowl #1.
All right. Now, this is because Batman's dead.
Yeah, or whatever.
Or something. And talking to himself in a coffin.
Right. This is the first of three where all of the people in Batman's life who are left alive, which is most of them, are now trying to decide or ascertain who is going to step up and be the Batman, if you will.
All right.
So
there it is.
Your guess is as good as mine. And everybody keeps saying... There is a humongous event in June when all this Battle for the Cowl stuff ends.
Oh, good.
We talked about the renumbering stuff and
I'll find the issues online.
I'll
read them that way.
Next.
Black Terror.
Black Terror. Of course, we mentioned earlier the Project Superpowers from right. Alex Ross and Jim Krueger. This is Black Terror is one of those characters now doing some work in his own series here. Of course, it's fantastic. Deep writing, interesting art by Mike Lilly on the inside. Of course, features Alex Ross covers, which always delight the eye, as they say. If you like your old pulpy stuff and you like, you know, in many ways, it's kind of the whole advancing old heroes into the new scenario kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is very interesting, and they're really doing a great job with it. If you like that sort of thing, you'll really like these Project Superpowers books. Let's roll through a couple of Marvel hits.
Let's go for it.
Guardians of the Galaxy number 11.
Yes.
Of course, continues the great space opera in the Marvel Universe, which thankfully is staying away from the rest of the garbage that's going on right. in the Marvel Universe, which we can all be thankful for. Absolutely a fantastic book. I mean, zero complaints.
Okay.
Zero well, complaints about good. The book. Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning writing, and Wes Craig doing the honors on the artwork. Absolutely. It's a thrilling book to read. I'm really pleased with it. I can't wait to read it each and every month. I haven't said that about a Marvel title in a long ass time. And just as equally exciting, Moon Knight number 28.
Right.
Continuing the story, the Mike Benson story, mm-hmm. with Jeff DePaolo as the artist. You know what?
That's a book I think I should be reading.
I agree, because, it's another, thankfully, another Marvel book that's staying largely away from the nonsense going on in the Marvel Universe, and still continues to be a great read. Also from Marvel, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, number 4.
Okay, now this is under the Marvel imprint, but has nothing to do with the Marvel Universe.
Absolutely, and thank God, because okay. I'm sure if they could find a way, they'd fuck this up, too. Eric Schanauer
right.
and Scotty Young are handling the responsibilities here. The Schanauer script, if you will, based on the original books, fantastic. Finally, a decent comic translation from the original to this format.
Okay.
That said, Scotty Young's art is unbelievable.
I like Scotty Young.
It's crazy. Just crazy.
All right. I'll wait for it to get collected, and then I'll pick that up, too.
I can't wait for it to be collected either. But that said, I can't stop buying the stupid issues.
Well, that's good.
I said, you remember I said last month? I said, I'm stop buying these. I'm going to wait for the collection to come out. Can't do it.
You're like a crack addict.
Can't do it. I don't ever get like a book about a book like that. A book that I could get like that about, if they were to actually continue the storyline, would be Wolverine.
Okay.
Continuing the Old Man Logan. So
this is more Old Man Logan, right?
Yeah, this is part 6 of the Old Man Logan storyline. Mark Millar, of course, handling the writing, and Steve McNiven doing the interior art, which is unbelievably good. Unbelievably good.
All right.
And the story is just fantastic. A futuristic story, if you will, where everybody is old. And it's one of those, it's kind of similar, if you will, to Kingdom Come.
Okay.
A lot more dirty, a lot more gritty, a lot more down to earth, a lot less epic and dramatic.
Right.
But that sort of they're older now feel.
Okay.
Which I think is fantastic.
I'm sure they'll collect those 6 issues yes. at some point, and I will buy them then.
And it had to end sometime. Ultimate X-Men number 100, the final issue.
Why is it ending?
Because the whole universe is ending. So that they can come back as Ultimate Comics
oh.
X-Men. Remember we discussed that?
Oh, that's
that?
Right. So they're going to be relaunching it.
Yes.
Again.
This will be concluded in the... Now, there's a series going on called Ultimatum, which is basically going to be the end of the Ultimate Universe.
Is it? Are they, and then how are they explaining the end of the universe? Is it just coming to an end? Or is there an event that they're
the
using?
The event is taking place in Ultimatum. Okay. Yes. And I don't want to say what that event is, because I would much rather if people are reading it.
Yes.
Sure. And then there'll be a bookend version called Ultimatum X-Men Requiem.
Okay.
Which will be the end of the end.
All right.
And that's it. That's it on comics. That's it on the Ultimate Universe.
All right, DVDs. His name was Jason.
And it was. This is a documentary about the Friday the 13th movie franchise. Over 30 years of Jason, sir.
30 years? No.
79 to 2009 is what?
30 years.
30 years, sir.
79 was the first movie?
79, first movie.
Oh, I thought that was an 80s flick.
30 years, sir.
All right.
30. I couldn't believe it either. I almost fainted. I just never put it together.
Yeah, I always assumed it was like mid-80s.
Right?
Or something.
Two-disc edition features the full presentation. So many interviews with people involved in these films. If you're a fan, you're just choking.
Someone spent a long weekend at Monster Mania.
I spent a long weekend at Monster Mania. I got 16 new autographs in my Friday the 13th book. Thank you very much. But his name is Jason, an excellent film. Tell you what we're going to do with this one. We're going to check it out individually. Okay. And then next week we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more extensively about this because I'm a huge fan. You're not such a big fan.
So much.
I want to see where our individual takes are on this one.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to do there. What do you got?
Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Next up.
Or Pinocchio, as I say. Disney's Pinocchio re-released.
The 70th anniversary.
I think of Disney. I don't think it's of Pinocchio.
No?
Isn't it 70th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company?
It could be. I don't know. Snow White was in the 30s, right? So, and that was the first major one. I think that was before Pinocchio. So Pinocchio can't be 70.
It's got to be Disney Company. Good. Of course, it's got the all-new digital restoration with enhanced picture and sound. Tons and tons and tons of things for you to look at and enjoy. What I want to say about the Disney stuff is Disney's kind of smart.
They're very, very smart.
They're now putting out the Blu-ray version.
Inside
the Blu-ray version is a regular DVD version of the film.
In addition to the Blu-ray version?
In addition to the Blu-ray
version. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that's smart.
For no additional cost.
Well, that's good.
So you're still paying $10 more extra for Blu-ray, but you're actually getting a regular DVD version inside. I thought about making the switch.
You have to get a Blu-ray player first.
Irrelevant, sir, because there's a regular copy of the DVD in the Blu-ray box.
In this case.
In the Blu-ray box.
In the Pinocchio case.
Yes.
Not every Blu-ray release.
Yeah, from now on.
Oh, really? I haven't heard that.
I think the last one was also. What was the last one?
Are you talking about just for Disney titles?
Just for Disney.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Are we on the same page?
Now we're on the same page. Pinocchio, the last big one was Sleeping Beauty. But sandwiched in between there was Sword in the Stone and Oliver and Company.
I don't know. I would have to check on those to see if they did them with those. I thought they did it with, was it Cinderella, did you say?
No, Sleeping Beauty.
Sleeping Beauty. All right.
And then
I have to check. I think Sleeping Beauty might have been the first one.
That was Blu-ray. I don't think that Sword in the Stone and Oliver and Company did Blu-ray. I think they were just regular.
Oh, they were just regular. Then probably not. Then probably didn't do that. But I'll bet you if you check that Cinderella was, or Sleeping Beauty. Sleeping Beauty was Blu-ray and had a regular copy inside the box.
Okay.
That's what I'm guessing. Best Buy Billy were here. He can answer that question.
I'm sure he could.
Or not. The Zeta Project.
Yes.
Remember this? No, you don't.
I didn't until you reminded me. I'm not going to lie.
This was a TV show on the WB that was spun off from Batman Beyond.
Right.
Right? So the character was the robot. He could change himself and disguise himself as anything.
I didn't even know this was on the air.
And
I missed
on,
two seasons of this,
and it was
apparently.
On for two seasons.
Was it on Fox?
No, sir, the WB.
Oh, WB, I'm sorry.
I opened with the WB show. Are you all right?
Yeah.
What, one beer?
No, I missed you say WB. I apologize.
A little tipsy?
I apologize.
A little falling away there?
I didn't hear you.
Anyway, the Zeta Project.
Right.
The long booted version has been available illegally for many years, but now it seems like somebody decided, for some reason, now would be a good time to release it on DVD. This is season one. Why on earth put out season one when there's only two seasons?
Just put out a complete collection, especially because season one is only 12 episodes.
And not only that, it's so obscure that it's really only going to be a hardcore collector who gets this anyway.
They're charging you $25 for 12 episodes.
I know.
That's a ripoff.
They're trying to get it, sir.
Apparently.
And somebody's going to buy it. I bought it because I thought it was a really great show. I don't understand why it went away so quick. But that's me. Probably because they didn't do toys for it.
Punisher.
Punisher Warzone.
Came and went theatrically.
This was the Ray Stevenson Punisher take. This is the one that had Jigsaw in it. This is the one, as OG said, did not do so hot in the theater.
Nope.
However, I'm sure it's going to find a whole new life on DVD. In fact,
I suspect so.
My Best Buy?
Yeah.
Sold out.
Nice.
Sold out. They had a bunch of them. Went 2 days ago, got the single disc by accident, went back today to get the double disc. Gone. All gone. This was the last one. And there was only one single disc left on top of that.
Tisk, tisk.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably grab it this weekend from somewhere.
I think that's going to have a life on DVD.
All right.
Yep.
South Park.
The complete 12th season of South Park.
I can't believe that show has been on that long.
It's not. They do those split seasons.
Yeah, they're weird seasons.
Yeah, it's weird. Because I don't think it's been... I mean, this is 9... It, could be 12.
I remember 90... Oh, it's definitely 96, 97.
Yeah, right around there.
Right when I got to college.
Yeah.
So there it is.
It has tons of great episodes, as you know. I don't know what else to say about it, man. It's brilliant animated social parody.
I come in and out of South Park.
You do?
Yeah, I watch a couple episodes here and there, and I don't watch for a while, and then I watch a couple episodes.
Did you watch The Coon?
I did watch The Coon.
That was a brilliant episode. Last week with the Jonas Brothers?
I saw that one also.
Hysterical.
I saw that one.
How on earth they're not getting sued by Disney for that one?
I don't know.
But that said, they continue to break barriers and take risks and everything, and you can see all the ones they took in season 12. Obama's in there. There's a whole bunch of crazy, crazy ones in there. That was the whole Obama Ocean's 13.
Yeah, the episode. Ocean's that 12, episode that Ocean's came 11. Out like the day
the
after
day
he won.
Two days after he won or whatever it was. So there it is. Actually comes with, now I don't know if this is an exclusive to
Best Buy or not.
Best Buy or not. But it comes with a excerpts from South Park Guide to Life mini book. There's that. And basically what this is, first of all, you can go over to runningpress.com to see more about the book.
Okay.
It's basically pictures and lines from the various episodes.
It's like a bathroom reader. South Park bathroom reader.
Yeah, it's like a picture book. I'll
give
it that.
And it's Mr. Men size.
One of my favorites is in here, Jimmy.
Okay.
The little boy with the crutches. And whatever, I'm not sure what he has, cerebral palsy, something like that. And it says Jimmy, and his line is, "My mom says God has a plan for everyone. I guess I was Plan B." You know, boom. It's a lot of those. It's a lot of those sayings. You have Butters saying, "If I'm bi-curious and I'm somehow made from God, then I figure God might be a little bi-curious himself."
How could you not love Butters?
I don't know.
Professor Chaos rules.
Returns. Mr. Garrison says, "Remember, there are no stupid questions, just stupid people."
Right.
So there it is. You can check that out. That's what did I say that was? Runningpress.com for the full version of the book. This is only excerpts from.
And finally,
rounding out DVDs tonight, the Three Stooges Collection, Volume 5, 1946 to 1948.
Right.
And this is where the big switch occurred.
Okay.
At the end of the final days of filming Half-Wit's Holiday, Curly had a stroke.
Right.
And he retired at the age of 43. And they grabbed their other brother, Shemp. So this is where Shemp Howard comes into the fold and starts making Three Stooges movies. I'm a big fan of all of them, except Curly Joe Besser, the last one. These are some classic comedy films. If you don't like the Three Stooges, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
It's physical comedy.
It's better than physical comedy. It's just complete screwball nuttiness. You got to check your brain at the door and just laugh because
absolutely.
That's what they're there for. God bless all of them.
All right.
And there it is. Let's take a break.
No.
What?
You want to take a break or you want to just go into this?
Oh, maybe we could just skip that.
Oh, we can't skip that.
Why? Best Buy Billy won't be upset, will he?
That would be a shame to skip that.
Go ahead. Give your little bit, and I'll give my bit.
I don't want to give my little bit. I just want to talk about it. Ooh, you're getting some corrections in the chat room about Curly Joe.
Curly Joe Besser was the worst stooge
Curly
ever.
Curly Joe and Joe Besser were two different people. It was Curly Joe Derita and Joe Besser.
Joe Besser was also referred to as Curly Joe Besser, Know Nothing.
That was Triple B.
There you go, Triple B.
I'm just pointing out that he said it, and now we can move on to the sci-fi channel.
Hack.
S-Y-F-Y. Sci-fi.
Yeah. Go ahead. Read your little bit.
No. Let's talk about it a little bit.
There it is. There's the new logo.
I first heard about this at the beginning of the week. And when I first heard about it, I thought it was kind of ridiculous, but I didn't really care much about it. It was what it was. They were changing it. It was kind of dumb, whatever. I heard they want branding and they want to own it and blah, blah. And then I started reading a little bit about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I got a bit angry.
Okay.
So the one article that I happened to print out was, the title of the article was Sci-Fi Channel Aims to Shed Its Geeky Image with a New Name and Imagine Greater as its logo.
Uh-huh.
Sci-Fi Channel wants to shed its geeky image.
Yeah, I know. It's like Leopard wants to shed its spots.
Exactly. Why?
What? House wants to shed its foundation.
All right. So
Fantastic wants to shed his pretty boy good looks.
What we love about this is that we hopefully can get the best of two worlds. We'll get the heritage and the track records of success that the channel brings, and we'll be able to build off of that to broader, more open and accessible, relatable, and a human-friendly brand. That's what they're saying.
Who's they? Who's that asshole?
That's Tim Brooks from Sci-Fi Channel.
Tim Brooks is a moron. Okay. Tim Brooks is trying to alienate his fucking audience, and that's it. That's the bottom line.
All right.
It's a dumb move. It's a stupid, stupid idea. And I hope to God, all of you listening, the next time you're at a convention where Sci-Fi Channel is, however they're spelling it, you should go up to the people at the booth and say, this was the dumbest idea you've ever come up with, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Worse than fucking, what you call it, sequels. Starship Troopers sequels. Worse than Starship Troopers sequels.
All right. If you want to change your name to something else, then change your fucking name. Create a new network and change your name completely.
Uh-huh.
By calling it Sci-Fi and just spelling it different.
Right.
You're not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
You're not changing anything.
People understand.
Are still going to call it Sci-Fi.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
I understand. I'm furious at it, but we are being told, Fantastic is telling us that we do need to take a break.
Okay.
So as we come back into the wrap up portion, maybe we can have a final statement.
Yeah, because we're probably not done with that.
Maybe we aren't. Maybe we need to call somebody and get somebody on the show about that. How about that?
Okay.
How about that, Triple B?
All right.
Fucker. And all right, we'll take a break and we'll be right back. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 140. St. Patrick versus the Coon.
Matt, I just got a brand new 2-pound bag of Jelly Belly jelly beans. They come in 49 flavors, all of which I'm going to read for you right now. Berry Blue, Blueberry, Bubblegum.
Jelly Belly is the original gourmet jelly bean, a fat-free candy with only 4 calories per bean.
Cotton candy, A&W cream soda, crushed pineapple, Dr. Pepper.
You can go to jellybelly.com to find recipes on how to combine your favorite jelly bellies to come up with new and exciting flavors like mud pie and berry smoothie.
Margarita, orange juice, orange sherbet, peach, peanut butter, pina colada, pink grapefruit, plum, raspberry.
And with Easter just around the corner, now is the perfect time to get Jelly Bellies for your entire family.
Daiquiri, strawberry jam, tangerine, toasted marshmallow, top banana.
That's Jelly Belly, the original gourmet jelly bean.
Jelly Bellies, available at a store near you.
What the fuck was that? Your sister has turned into a zombie.
Hey gang, this is Bruce Campbell, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Ha ha!
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
Go fuck yourself.
What the fuck was that? It's the Evil Dead!
fucking pissed off. Right. I don't understand. It's why on earth do they want to get away from their own stupid roots? It's the dumbest fucking move ever.
I believe. I'm pissed.
Get that guy. Fantastic. Get that fucking guy on this show. Get him on this show. There's got to be somebody we can reach the Sci-Fi Channel and get somebody on this show to explain how on earth they can abandon their fucking roots this way and want to shed their geeky image. You're the fucking channel that recreated fucking Battlestar Galactica. You're never shedding that image.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere. Despite whatever content you have, in addition to all that, it's not going anywhere.
Unbelievable. I swear to God, get somebody out. Really, get somebody from the channel.
Anything can be considered science fiction. Anything.
That's my new mission.
ER could be science fiction.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm just like,
Yoda's an ER spinoff coming. That's all I'm saying. We'll talk more about it next
science
week.
Science fiction.
That's
in the real world, that shit wouldn't happen.
All right, fine. That's an exaggeration. Fucking Battlestar Galactica is fucking science fiction.
Right.
That's what the fucking channel is based on.
I hear you.
That's my new mission, is to get somebody from that fucking channel on this show to explain themselves.
Okay.
That's my new mission.
All right.
Mark it. Today.
Done?
That's my mission.
Are you making a t-shirt of it?
Mission? No. No, the t-shirt is Tolkien is my Tupac. What did we talk about today on Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
We talked about a lot of shit today on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We talked about Iron Man 2, Mickey Rourke and Scarlett Johansson in that. We talked about Thor, maybe Alex Skarsgård and Josh Harnett are in that. We talked about a possible reboot of the Fantastic Four franchise and a bunch of the Marvel movies getting pushed off for a year, in our opinions, to probably bankroll each one off of the success of the other, so we'll probably never get to the Captain America movie.
We talked about the new Green Hornet short story collection, which we're kind of, I'm thinking it's a comic, it wasn't really clear, that's coming from IDW.
Linda Hamilton did a voiceover for the new Terminator film. She is Sarah Connor.
We talked about the Rorschach unmasked variant from DC Direct. Looks great. Great likeness of Jackie Earle Haley. Nice figure. We talked about the complete Rocketeer coming out very soon to all of us. We'll have more information about that as we get closer to the date.
Right.
I think that's IDW also.
Okay. Well, good for them.
No.
The completest company.
Yeah, that's IDW. What did I say before? No, the other one wasn't IDW.
You said something about it was Green Hornet, but I don't
know.
It's not
IDW, it's Moonstone.
Oh, okay.
That's
Moonstone.
My correction. All right. And also coming to us this summer, Green Lantern First Flight, the latest in the DC animation line, if you will. In the second segment tonight, we talked about the Draconomicon. I can't fucking say that.
You're retarded.
From the folks over at Wizards of the Coast, who are doing the fine rebooting of D&D 4th edition. I'm loving that stuff, man. It's great. And that book was really fantastic. Also, we talked about Buck Rogers coming from Dynamite Entertainment, getting the comics treatment once again. The original space future hero.
That's right.
Back in comic books. Absolutely fantastic.
The greatest Muppet movie of all time. But Pepe only has three lines.
That makes it right there. It invalidates the title. Comics this week. We talked about Mad 399, which sends up the Watchmen, of course. We talk about Watchmench, also a send up of the Watchmen with a slightly Jewish angle.
Right.
We talked about the After Watchmen pamphlet, free in your better comic book stores.
Correct.
Talking about stuff you might want to check out and read after you've read the Watchmen. We talked about Black Coat. Battle for the Cowl,
right?
Black Terror, right. Guardians of the Galaxy,
correct.
Moon Knight,
right.
Wonderful Wizard of Oz, right. Wolverine, uh-huh. and Ultimate X-Men, the last issue.
On DVD this week, we talked about His Name Was Jason.
Yes,
and we're to a future episode.
Actually, yeah, next week we're going to talk about that a little bit more.
All right.
Actually, once we've both seen it.
Pinocchio.
Yeah.
Zeta Season 1.
Uh-huh.
Punisher Warzone.
It's actually the Zeta Project.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Zeta Project Season 1. Punisher Warzone,
mm-hmm.
South Park Season 12, Three Stooges Collection 5.
We also talked about Sci-Fi changing the spelling of their name from S-E-I-F-I to S-Y-F-Y.
A stupid waste of time maneuver.
Absolutely ridiculous, stupid maneuver. I want somebody from that channel on this program to explain themselves. Let's make that happen.
All right.
And that's it.
I think we could do the old plugola.
Plugaroos.
All right. So what do we have?
We have the Sam Jones, Melody Anderson, DVDs, and audio commentary download, which is ending.
April 1st.
March
30th. March
31st.
First is the last day that right. you can purchase these from the website. If you catch us at a live appearance, you might be able to pick up one of these items. We are going to be putting up a new Flash Gordon prop to the website.
Oh, yes. Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, a couple of new ones.
Oh, all right.
And yes, and they will be going up there sooner than later, I'm hoping. And yeah, but that's March 31st. Last
There's
day.
Also the uh-huh. Big Kev's Geek Stuff official looking spiffy t-shirt.
Yes, that's from our friends at
ComboBreaker.com.
Correct.
So you can get that. And then I guess we could say that you can, on occasion, hear us on Sirius XM.
That's true.
Satellite radio, uh-huh. 197.202. And you can catch replays of our show over at homegrownradionj.org on Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern time.
That's true. They have a lot of great stuff over there.
They do. They have some really great shows over there. So.
Not that they have some movie show over there. That's
oh yeah.
Well, I think just saying.
We know that show, right?
We do.
I think so.
Oh,
I think that's it. Can I just get a quick personal plug?
Sure. It's a format for your personal objections
agendas?
And agendas. Sure.
All right, well, look, this is a good cause.
Okay.
My wife is participating in the AIDS Walk this year in New York City. It's a good cause, and for anybody that might want some more information on the walk itself or maybe how to make a donation to the cause, to my wife's team, you could shoot me an email at geekstuffog@gmail.com, and I will point you in the right direction.
I'm resisting every urge right now to joke about this.
I'm glad.
I want to say that's how much I care about your wife. And the fantastic thing she's doing by doing, what's it again, the walk?
It's the AIDS Walk.
AIDS
it takes
walk.
Place in Manhattan every year.
I care so much about your wife's participation in this that I resisted the urge to say that you have AIDS.
Well, thank you.
And you should, absolutely, you should email geekstuffog@gmail.com if you want more information on how to be involved with OG's wife.
Hey, wait.
Wait. That
that's not what I meant.
But in any case, we're going to bring this to a close. Fantastic. Do you have any final words for Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 140, St. Patrick versus the Coon?
Yeah, if you like watching TV on your computer or want to cancel cable, head over to Boxee.tv, BOXEE.tv, and download Boxee. Thanks, guys.
And on that note, we cue the music.